This meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you. This is Brenda speaking for the record. Good day and welcome everyone to the RDS, who is to review team plenary call number 15 on January 8, 2018 at 1430 UTC. In attendance today, we have Alan Greenberg, Dmitry Bozyavsky, Krista Spain, Erica Mann, Susan Kawaguchi, Lily Sun. We do not have any observers joining us. We do have an apology from Volker Greenman. And from ICANN.org, we have Alice Jansen, Jean-Baptiste Durelet, Amy Creamer, Lisa Pfeiffer, and myself, Brenda Brewer. I'd like to remind everyone today's call is being recorded. Please state your name before speaking for the transcript. I'll turn the meeting over to you, Alan.
Thank you very much. We have an agenda that was planned, and I have one question out. I'm not quite sure what item number three is. Jean-Baptiste? Is Jean-Baptiste with us?
Hi, Alan. Yes, on item number three, that was something identified on the last call on Friday, that you wanted to look into details into the first item of the outreach plan.
All right. I'm having a complete blank on that, but when we get to it, I'm sure we'll figure out what it is. I'd suggest that we flip the items and put three at the end after the face-to-face, number two, rather, subgroup status, because the others are items we didn't get to on Friday. So I'd suggest that we do three, four, five, and then go back to two, and then AOB, unless there's any objection. Any further comments on the agenda before we adopt it? Then we'll adopt it as modified and proceed. And the first item, therefore, is indeed, well, actually, I neglected to mention that if anyone has any statement of interest changes, they should give us an opportunity to tell us now. And no hands. And therefore, we'll go on to what was item number three, outreach plan. And if you can put this slide up, maybe I'll remember or someone else will remember exactly what it is we're going to be talking about. I know on the outreach plan overall, we decided we're going to need some more thought on it because of the the need for clarity as to when we go out for public comments, if we do or do not have substantive changes after the first comment. And I must admit, Lisa, please go ahead. You seem to remember what we're talking about, and I must admit I'm having a complete blank on this particular item. So, Lisa, please go ahead.
Thank you, Alan. And this is Lisa Pfeiffer for the transcript. Alan, this was the first milestone in the outreach plan, so I know that the leadership team and in our Friday plenary call, there were some questions on the final steps of the outreach plan, and we discussed that those being based on the operating standards and the possibility of providing comments on the operating standards themselves. But then we noted that in the outreach plan, the very first milestone actually is outreach that occurs at the time that the terms of reference and the work plan are adopted. And since we are hopefully approaching that point, it's time to start thinking about who will actually carry out the actions needed here and put into place any steps necessary to do that or any planning necessary to do that.
Thank you, Lisa. And that conversation does now sound familiar now that you've actually said it. Thank you. I guess the first step is to what extent are items there ones that staff consider that they take the lead on, at least for drafting, and what parts of it do you believe the review team itself should be doing? Because I do recall on Friday there was a discussion of some of it would be initially drafted in any case by staff. Anyone? Or do you believe it's all review teamwork? Lisa or Jean-Baptiste?
This is Lisa. I'll take a stab at answering that, which is ultimately the actions fall to the review team leadership, but if you wish to share some guidance on what you would like in the communications, staff can certainly take a first crack at putting your thoughts on paper.
Mind reading, of course, is useful. Thank you. Lisa, go ahead again.
Sorry, that was an errant hand.
Alan, if I can just add to that, what
yes.
you remember about staff drafting was about preparing slides for the webinar that the leadership or the review team would approve afterwards.
Okay. Well, I would certainly appreciate, given my workload, and I know Susan's at the moment, I would certainly appreciate at least a draft of or a set of bullet points of what you believe should be in these types of documents, and then we can discuss in the leadership call exactly how we orchestrate getting something done to a larger extent. Social media is mentioned there, and I'm not quite sure what social media one normally uses for review teams to publicize activities.
So on that, it's mainly via Twitter, LinkedIn, I believe.
Erica says she's not convinced. Do you want the floor, Erica? Please, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, very short. Twitter, I think, makes sense. Keep it short, but Twitter, yes. LinkedIn, one can do, but if you do LinkedIn or not, it doesn't matter really because nobody reads LinkedIn. The other sources are not really helpful. I don't think so. It makes sense to post it, for example, on Facebook because you never know who finally will see it. So I think just keep it to Twitter. I think would make sense.
Thank you. Any other thoughts? A question for the other members on non-leadership members on the group. In terms of notification of AC's SOs, is that something you believe should be drafted communally and everyone sends it out, or do you believe you should be personalizing it to meet the needs of your specific constituency? My personal preference is I think we should draft some bullet points, but every group of people from a given ACSO draft their own document for distribution. Erica, is that a new hand? Maybe not. Does that sound reasonable in terms of the in terms of ACSO communication?
Alan, it's
Chris. I will. Yes, please, Chris, go ahead.
Sorry, it might be me. It probably almost certainly is me. That's confused. Don't we need to make sure that all messaging is consistent?
I'm not worried about consistent as much as making sure it's inclusive, that it includes the salient points, but I suspect that based on the constituency, you know, the GNSO may be want, you know, the GNSO reps may want to give things to the GNSO that are not necessarily relevant to one of the other groups just because of their interest in the subject, for instance. I know, for instance, that the NOMCOM and the distributions that are sent out by members, you know, those are essentially orchestrated and people just distribute the text. I think in this case there may well be a need for more tailoring.
So I get that, and I, sorry, it's Chris again. I get that, and I appreciate what you're trying to achieve. My only concern would be the possibility of having, and again, I may have misunderstood, but doesn't that lead to the possibility of having some people informed to a different level or about different things than others?
Which is why I suggested bullet points or some basic outline to start with. I don't have particularly strong feelings on this. We could certainly draft something final, and then any members of the group could enhance it to the extent they felt is
sure.
appropriate.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not fussed either. I just wanted to make sure I understood correctly, and I just want to make sure that we don't lay ourselves open to comments suggesting that, you know, we haven't. I note that the GNSO has been told the following matters have been stressed to the GNSO, but did not appear in the stuff sent out to the CCNSO, for example.
I think my answer to that would be that's up to the individuals. That's why we each appoint
yeah.
people.
Yeah,
but,
fair enough.
I don't feel particularly upset about that. On the other hand, I'm somewhat aware that if we don't provide anything, then that may be the exact communication we get in some cases. So, all right, so if I could ask staff to do a first cut either at bullet points or text as appropriate for each of those items, and we will take it further up in the next leadership call. I note that this happens after the terms of error. I'm assuming this should be done after the board approves them, not prior to that, because in theory they may well change. Does that sound reasonable to anyone? Is anyone awake on this call? Ah, we have two yeses, three yeses, or something close to yes.
Three yes.
Okay. Thank you. Then we'll take that as an action item for staff, and following that for the leadership team, and go on to the next agenda item, please. And the next agenda item is GDPR. We have been asking for a briefing on GDPR for, I guess, a month or more at this point. My thought at this point is I'm not sure there's a lot of merit in a briefing at this point. We have a lot more information than we did. At the time we started asking, GDPR was essentially something that was coming in the future, and ICANN essentially had said absolutely nothing about how it was really going to be addressing it, other than having put together the use cases and initially chartered some legal opinions. We now have significant legal opinion having come in. We have a plan under which we are going to propose a number of implementations, or presumably interim implementations, to meet the initial deadline of the end of May. And there would be, I believe, a community comment on those implementations and then something selected. So since we now have a moderately good idea of where we are, of how we're going to get there, but we're really in a position where until the plans, the prototypes are proposed and comments are in, we really don't have a lot to discuss at this point. I am assuming once the three scenarios are proposed, there will be a webinar or something like that to discuss them go into them in some detail with the wider community. If there isn't, I could see that we might request one. But if there is something that is generally made available at that point, I'm not sure we need a specific briefing, but I see Erica has her hand up. Please go ahead, Erica.
Alan, thank you. I agree with you. We have more clarity, and in general, the domain name constituencies, I think they have more clarity as well, and we have the second opinion from the law firm. But I would still recommend, Alan, particularly because we need to do some operational work with regard to the WHOIS, and just relates to some of the GDPR functions, I think it would be good to ask actually the law firm to do a simple checklist for us based on their legal evaluation they have done. By the way, I don't agree with all of their legal recommendation, but that's a different issue and no need to talk about it. But nonetheless, it would be good for them to do for us a simple evaluation. And what I mean would be really simple, based on what they have done. Wouldn't cost ICANN much more, a lot of more money, but it would be just saying, this is the current status of the US, this is the changes in insofar as GDPR is impacting the current status. This is our analysis. And based on this analysis, I don't know if even if we need this, but in an ideal scenario, they should say we would recommend the following with regard to who is. But if you don't want this, you can leave this aside. But the simple overview would be maybe one page or two pages. Doesn't have to be very long. I would appreciate this if we, and since we have Chris on the call, I would appreciate this if the law firm, if we would talk to ICANN management and probably to the board, if they would request such kind of thing from the law firm. I wouldn't want us to wait until the you know, all these procedures are done, because the composition of what needs to be done is already clear now. The question what we will have with consultation processes will have minor impact on the question what needs to be done and where the major concerns are. So I would love to see something like this. I don't think so it should be us doing this, but it should be, it should come a template from the law firm.
Thank you, Erica. Chris?
I'm going to start another sentence because I may be confused. I'm not clear why we would do that. It's not this review team's job to decide what steps need to be taken in respect to GDPR. And it's not our job, so I may have misunderstood again, but I don't understand why we would be that immersed in it. The situation is that the registries and the registrars, that which is governed by the contract needs to be agreed between the registries and the registrars, and that which is governed by policy, of which there is currently none, by the way, needs to be dealt with by the policy mechanism. So quite what this review team would be doing in respect to steps to be taken to comply with GDPR is a little beyond me. But Erica, I apologize if I've misunderstood what you were saying.
Yeah, maybe I wasn't clear. I'm not interested in understanding this neither. I totally agree with you, Chris. I only want to have an answer on the point as far as they impact our work. So the WHOIS review and our work, this I would love to see from them. I mean, we can do it ourselves, but I would rather prefer to get a neutral, you know, quick checklist, not nothing complicated, just a very quick one.
Okay, thank you, Erica. Chris, before you go ahead, I think we need to recap the discussion we had last week when Erica wasn't on the call. And the question was, to what extent are we reviewing WHOIS at the time that we convened, in other words, frozen in time at that point, or are we reviewing it essentially at the in real time with things changing? And I think the conclusion we came to is it would be somewhat of a waste of our time if we were to focus on WHOIS as it was at the moment we convened, when there are issues such as GDPR which clearly have changed the environment with respect to some aspects of our work, and particularly safeguarding registrant data is one of those areas.
Yeah.
On the other hand, it is still a work in progress, and it is likely to be an interim measure, whatever we do. And it's not clear that we need to focus a lot of effort on it, but we can't bury our heads in the sand and ignore it. That being said, we are commenting on whatever the situation is at the time that we're freezing our recommendations and our comments. And that is an unknown right now. So although I can appreciate, Erica, what you are suggesting be done, I'm not sure it is either within our domain to ask for it or, to be honest, whether we even care about it. It may well be a useful thing for ICANN to do, but I don't see how it falls under the auspices of this review team. So if you perhaps can elaborate. Or if Chris wants to go first.
Just while we're waiting for Erica, you go ahead, Erica.
Let me think about it some more. I still think we need to do it because it will impact definitely the future composition of who is, and it will impact the way we review and how we do our work. So there must be something which relates to our work. I don't think so we can totally ignore it. But give me a little bit more time to figure this out. I'm working in this for many other companies, so I would be surprised if, you know, we just can ignore it and can say, because the process is now going on and review is done and recommendation will come out and registrars and registries will be the key partner. There is no role for us. I'm doubtful about this, but let me have a look at it. And because I don't want to do any guesswork, and then I sent you by email what I would recommend us to do. And if you think you could support us, would be great. If not, we just skip it.
Thank you, Erica. Do remember, we decided in our terms of reference that we are not commenting on things that are in the midst of happening right now. Now, to the extent something will have happened by the time we get closer to having a report and recommendations, then that is what we are going to have to comment on. But as things are in flux, we are explicitly not commenting, for instance, on the PDP and projecting or predicting whether it will be successful or what its outcomes will be. So I think we have to be very careful we do have to comment on things that are actually changed in the environment. But it's not clear that we should be commenting, or it's less clear to me that we should be commenting on things as they are changing. In any case, Chris and then Susan.
Yeah, so I agree. I actually agree with Erica to some extent. I just think it's a timing issue. And I think what you've said is right, Alan. I think that there may well come a time in the life of this review team where decisions are made in respect to GDPR, and it is appropriate for this review team to ask for an analysis, one page, two page, whatever analysis, of what effect the decisions that have been made have on the things that we're looking at. That I agree with, but we're not at that stage yet because no decisions have been made. So if they are, when they are, then I think that what Erica says makes sense to me. And I just wanted to flag one thing, Alan, which is nothing to do, well, not really anything to do with what we've just talked about, but just so that we don't forget, I do have a small amount of input to give you on the caucus group's discussion on the terms of reference. If we could just make a note to put that under any other business, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. I didn't realize it would be ready today. Thank you
it's
very
not
much.
Not ready. I just have some comments.
You have some comments. Got it. All right. Then please, Susan, go ahead.
So I didn't want to completely comment on, you know, getting an update or analysis from ICANN on the GDPR, but I do think under that same topic, the review team should create sort of a framework of how we limit our sort of reach into the GDPR, because every discussion we do will bring us to the GDPR. Any sort of review, you know, for example, you know, I'm working on compliance, so anything we're reviewing for compliance, the whole change in what ICANN will require, you know, registrars to provide in the WHOIS will change drastically or somewhat, depending on your viewpoint. And so I do think as a team we should agree to, we will, you know, it is okay to look at the GDPR up to this point, but we shouldn't go any farther than this. It's not, you know, and I don't have a framework in mind, but I can see different teams sort of delving in at different levels, which would make for an inconsistent report.
Thank you. I'm just trying to figure out what that really means. There are significant parts of our review which have nothing to do with GDPR. Certainly, the evaluation of all the old recommendations is just that, a postmortem evaluation of whether the work was done and whether further work on those recommendations need to be done. So, although there could be some reference to GDPR, I think it's going to be minimal. The new items, protecting registrant data, law enforcement, maybe even compliance, may well have issues related to that. But I'm not quite sure how we start trying to analyze the impact without knowing what the scenarios are that we're looking at in specific. So it sounds to me as if it's something we need to keep our finger on, but I don't feel comfortable in trying to build a plan at this point or even a framework of how we look at that. Maybe I'm missing something, though. The real question at this point is, do we believe we need a briefing? I think we have agreed that we don't need a briefing right now, but clearly there may be a need once the three scenarios or three models are announced, if there isn't going to be some wider discussion of them, so we can try to understand the impact. Lisa, please go ahead.
Thank you, Alan. Just reflecting a little bit on Susan's suggestion and your response, possibly one way to approach this, I don't know that this is a framework, is to not make an assumption during the review of WHOIS as it exists today, that something will become unimportant because of a new model, but rather both do your fact-finding on today's implementation and any observations that the subgroup wishes to make about that, and then maybe keep separate in the fact-finding, but still address anything that you think may become less important in the future as a result of GDPR, or more important. Assessing what the potential impact of GDPR is. The reason that I suggest that is that I've seen, for example, on accuracy, there have been some thoughts both in last week's call and on email that perhaps it's not important to look at accuracy of contact data because contact data may not be published anymore. But to not look at how accuracy has been performed on contact data makes an assumption that it will be unimportant in the future. So both conducting the review of what exists and making any observations that you may have on how important it will be in the future or in what way it will change in the future might be a way of trying to straddle that and not leapfrog into making assumptions about GDPR and how it will affect WHOIS in the future. And the other thing with regard to the timing of a briefing is if the team has specific questions about the Hamilton memo and how it affects WHOIS today, the compliance of the GDPR and WHOIS today, those specific comments can certainly be forwarded through the process that's going on now, and I see that Trang has posted a link in chat for the vehicle where any questions could be sent through right now if you wish to have Hamilton address them in their next response pass.
Thank you, Lisa. Just one comment. You mentioned that, as an example, accuracy may not be relevant if the information is not published. But accuracy might still be very relevant if the information is collected. So I don't think publishing may be the only criteria under which, you know, we want to look at things. There will be information.
I certainly agree.
Yeah.
That was just echoing a comment that was made.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure we're not just looking at the public who is. We're looking at who is in general. All right. At this point, it sounds like we are not going to take any specific action regarding GDPR other than a watching brief, but we are not looking for a briefing at this point. That may change once some specific announcements are made. Next item on our agenda is face-to-face meeting discussion. We chose not to meet at ICANN 61 in Puerto Rico. The question is, when do we believe we are likely to be ready for a face-to-face meeting? And I would think if we're going to meet outside of an ICANN venue, we want to make it a meeting that will be really worthwhile. So we're probably talking 2 to 3 days. But at what point are we going to have something substantive to discuss? And I open the floor for any thoughts. Chris, please go ahead.
Thank you, Alan. This is Chris. What I'm about to say is based doesn't have any budget considerations built into it at the moment, and that obviously that's something that we're going to need to look at. But it strikes me that this review team might sensibly spend a little time either on a call or on a list working out whether, in fact, it would be an efficient use of time for the review team to have, as you say, a three-day face-to-face meeting, and perhaps have the groups gather on one of those days staggered over time to try to nail down all of the work that needs to be done. I have no idea whether that's an efficient and useful way forward, but I am slightly concerned about the timing of matters. I think timing is something that I suspect that the corpus group's going to respond in respect to as well. But given that there is a decision to have a face-to-face meeting, I just wonder whether we should think carefully about what is the best use of that time, and that in itself will then dictate when it's best to have it, because it depends on what one is going to do in it. I hope I made sense. I know what I meant to say. I'm not entirely sure it was clear.
I think I understand you. I have some thoughts, but I'd like any input from anyone else first. I'll put Susan on the spot. At what point is it going to be useful? Now, my experience is a face-to-face meeting is, I won't say infinitely more productive than a teleconference, but in terms of really coming to decisions and getting everyone to provide input, I think it's a far more effective way of doing things than this. But there is a cost, and a cost both in terms of actual dollars and, more important, perhaps people's time. So I'm reluctant to say we want to do it, you know, every month. Although in reality, that would probably be a very effective way of running the review. Erica, please go ahead.
I mean, it's always difficult, you know, to make these comments ad hoc, but I would say we should definitely meet when we're ready to take decisions, or when we know we can finalize some of our work and there's still some outstanding issues. Because to do it like we do now, it remains slow. So I think we need to be together to be effective. So my recommendation, Alan, you know this much better, you can judge this, and Susan much better than I can. Definitely in spring, I would say. I don't know when, what's the good time, but maybe March, or I'm guessing, but definitely in spring we should meet.
Thank you. Anyone else? No. Spring implies, really the question is, how much time do we need to get enough material so we can have useful discussions? And at this point, we are essentially at the very beginning. A few of our projects can come to closure or almost closure quickly. Others, I see significant work has to be done first. Dmitry.
Dmitry Belevsky, for the record. Well, I think that we need first to finish as much as possible in our subgroup work and organize face-to-face meeting only after that to make the results of subgroups consistent. Thank you.
And Susan.
I would agree with Dmitry. I think we need to finish some of our work, our reviews of each of the topic, and then meet. So I would get in the total gap that, and a hope, I guess, is that by May, we would have quite a bit of information for the whole team to review.
Thank you. The question I have, Lisa next, but the question I have that perhaps we need to focus on is, my recollection is we need at least 6 weeks, probably more, to lock in one of these meetings and make the arrangements. And therefore, when are we going to be in a position to predict that 6 or 8 weeks? And I guess I'd like the right number from staff. Is the time that we feel comfortable in locking it in? Lisa, please go ahead.
Thank you, Alan. I'll let Jean-Baptiste reply to the how much lead time is needed to actually schedule a meeting.
Thank you.
But I just wanted to observe that the original timing of potentially meeting at ICANN 61 was actually an item in the work plan, and it occurred at the point after fact-finding was done, the result of fact-finding had been reviewed in the full review team, and then subgroups had started to draft their recommendations. So the ICANN 61 time frame would have been a time frame at which all recommendations would have been drafted and ready for the full review team to look at. Now, that was in advance of, that was the work plan timeline as of the beginning of December. So we're roughly a month off of that, if that's helpful to you in trying to think about when in the series of steps it would be helpful to have that face-to-face.
Thank you, Lisa. Jean-Baptiste?
Sorry, I was on mute. Thanks, Alan. Yeah, what I wanted to add to what Lisa said is that you will need between 90 and 120 days before the meeting date to start planning the face-to-face meeting. So that's the deadline to inform the meetings team. And also, what I wanted to suggest is that based on what Lisa just said, that we revise the work plan and identify potential dates based on the progress and the meeting team requirements, if you wish.
Thank you. So between 90 and 120 days says we should be planning right now, scheduling the May meeting right now. If we don't schedule a May meeting, the next one is June. And we do have a face-to-face meeting somewhere already scheduled for an ICANN meeting, which again may be problematic in terms of scheduling our own work. Lisa, please go ahead. Unless that
was an old hand.
I'm sorry, that was an old hand. An old hand. And Jean-Baptiste is also an old hand?
Yes, sorry about that.
Okay. I guess we will in our next agenda item, we'll be talking about the subgroups. And I think at this point, we're going to have to get from the subgroup leaders some sort of measure of when they practically and realistically think they're going to have something close to ready for presentation to the entire group. I don't see any other way of going forward other than that, and predicting 3 months out is rather difficult in this business. But it sounds like we don't have any other alternative, and that we have to plan, put something on paper, plan, and then use that as the target. And that may indeed be the best way of doing it, of setting a target and then knowing we have to work towards it, and therefore hopefully meeting the deadline because of the target of a meeting setup. Now, if that's the case, then I would suggest we might want to look at scheduling a tentative meeting in May and start looking at doing timelines going backwards on how we're going to actually get there.
Alan, it's Chris. Can I?
Yes, please go ahead.
Suggestion. So, I'm fine with that, but I wonder whether, John Baptiste said 90 to 120 days. I think, frankly, 90 days is enough. I just wonder whether leaving it till May is a sensible idea, and whether we wouldn't be better to use the deadline of a face-to-face meeting in April, which would give us 90 days without a problem, and use that as a deadline to push things along. If you look at what Lisa said, she's suggesting that, you know, fact-finding done in February, draft recommendations in April. So that's the sort of thing I'd be suggesting.
If staff feels comfortable with 90 days, then I have no problem with it. Then I ask staff to start investigating alternatives for where such a meeting would be held and which week would be optimal for it, and I would suggest that we are
Carlton's house.
Pardon me?
Carlton's house.
Carlton's house. I see Carlton has joined us. That's fine with me. It'll be warm. And I would suggest that we target a 3-day meeting at this point. Is that a reasonable action item for staff to take forward? Anyone disagree with a target roughly middle of April, which gives us 3 full months from now? All right, done deal. Now we're back to agenda item number 2, subgroup status and next steps. We did a brief review, although not everyone was on the call the other day. Is it worthwhile trying to repeat where we were on that one? I would think it probably is, to the extent that we can go forward. The timing right now is we have another 45 minutes in the call. Chris, can I ask you to do your AOB right now? I know we're doing the meeting somewhat out of order.
Sure.
But let's get that out of the way to make sure we don't miss it and don't run out of time.
Happy to do so. All I really wanted to tell you was that I am expecting to come back to you with some input from the caucus group later this week. I don't have anything specific at this stage, but I wanted to flag that I know that there's been some discussion about resources, timing, and that we are likely to come back to you by the end of the week with some comments about those things. That was all I wanted to say, just so that everybody knew that things were happening and that there will be some comments and some suggestions.
But you're not planning on canceling the whole review, though?
No, I think that would be unwise.
That may make our life a lot easier.
Whilst personally, I'd be delighted, I suspect that wouldn't go down particularly well.
You can't fault me for trying.
No, I absolutely. I 100%, but no. But we will come back with some. There will be some suggestions and some constructive comments, hopefully by the end of the week. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Chris. All right, back at the work group summary, if we could put that back on the chart. On Adobe Connect. Sorry, I cannot read that one at all on my screen. I don't know if, and I have a large screen. I don't think that's going to be useful. Perhaps can we have a link to that document so we could look at it privately and then just do the overall one-page summary on the screen?
Hi, Alan. So we haven't seen that, so you can zoom as you wish. And also, it was included in my email in preparation of the plenary meeting.
Ah, okay. In that case, let me find it while anyone else, give everyone else a moment to find it. That's the resource matrix. Is that the one we're looking at? Or that one we're talking? Yes, it is. Okay. All right. Catherine is not on this call. On the strategic priority, she said she had not worked on it. She would be working on it. There was another document that we had, which had the status on it, the page. It was up on the screen a moment ago, the one that had green ticks and things like that. Yeah, no, I was talking about the one-page document, which I think we had on the screen a moment ago, did we not, Lisa?
Alan, just to let you know, the expanded matrix that Jean-Baptiste just had displayed does also show the status. So the items that you see on screen right now, I believe, this is the simplified
okay.
table.
Okay, sorry.
Any item that has a document is in progress. Any item that has not had anything floated out to the subgroup you see under the status column is blank.
All right. You're just changing the form. It's confusing me. Okay, strategic priority. Catherine didn't think there was going to be a lot more work to be done on that. Single who is policy. Carlton, do you have any comments on that? We haven't had that one reviewed at all. Can Carlton speak? Carlton is typing. It's hard getting on. Well, if we could try to connect Carlton, perhaps dial out to him, and we'll go back to him in a moment. Outreach there, I did the summary. The actual work involved, I don't believe, is going to be very large. It will require careful reading of a number of documents and both a comparison to see whether they're consistent and to what extent they are useful documents. There's a fair amount being published on WHOIS for registrants. It has been largely created independently by different groups, and the largest single question is, does it make sense when viewed as a whole, or do we have multiple confusing positions that are not going to really help? Any comments on outreach? Carlton says, I have a first pass done, sent to team members for comments, awaiting their response. Then I would guess we should ask anyone who is on Carlton's team to respond so we can get that one closed. Next one, and it is a significant one, is compliance. And I believe we decided on our last call that we were going to ensure that the team working on WHOIS recommendation number 4 and the new compliance item be the same team so that we can make sure they are consistent and not duplicate work. Susan, any comments?
No, I haven't done anything to reach out to both teams, so there's a lot of overlap. And I need to review, I sent out a template, draft template, but did not get to that this weekend. So we'll try to do it later today.
Okay. I think you also mentioned on last call that certainly with regard to number 6 compliance that we probably should have another call of the team again. So
yeah, we need some planning.
Probably worthwhile scheduling that sooner rather than later.
Okay, we'll do.
And the next item is data accuracy. That's item recommendations 5 through 9, a significant number of recommendations. And Lily was doing that one. Lily, do you have any comments on that?
Yes, I put forward some questions to be answered for this topic's review, and I received Dimitri's comments today, and I'm still waiting for Catherine's comments. Once I collected all the questions from the sub-members, I will start drafting the brief findings or key findings of this topic and brief the subgroups to go forward.
Thank you. How much effort do you believe actually doing the final work is going to be? It strikes me that this is perhaps one of the more significant efforts in our overall review of assessing to what extent we really have done effective things in implementing these recommendations.
Yes, you are right. Actually, in the first pass planning document, I put four questions to be answered. The first two questions is to assess the implementation progress of the WHOIS accuracy. I believe this topic is relatively complex.
Mm-hmm.
And also the WHOIS accuracy reporting system project, about the progress of this project. I believe the first two questions need relatively significant workload to deal with. So for the last two questions, maybe just a conclusion drawn from the first two questions.
Okay. That implies that work has, you know, our discussion about a face-to-face meeting implies this work has to be largely done by well before April. Does that sound viable
to you? April, yes. Yeah, I understand, yeah.
Okay, so you think that is viable. Okay. Next is privacy proxy, and Volker is on leave, and I believe Susan has reported on that one. Again, just for the people who weren't on the last call, if you could give us a quick update.
The record. I created a draft for that recommendation, just pulling from the IRT, PPSAI IRT, a lot of the work that's been done there. And there's definitely some questions. I haven't, you know, with Volker out and Stephanie, Volker and Stephanie, I think, are sharing the leadership on that. I haven't heard back from them at all, so I really think we need input from Volker at least, since he's one of the leaders. And, well, from both of them, but I'm assuming if Volker is coming back, we may, this week, we may get some input from him.
Thank you very much. Common Interface was also Volker. I don't know who was secondary on that one. Who else was on that team? Jean-Baptiste or Lisa? Or me?
Let me look at it.
That was Ellen, you, Susan, and Volker.
And Volker, yeah.
All right. And we're expecting Volker back on the end of this week, is that correct?
If I recall it, on the 12th.
On the 12th, okay. All right, let's he's going to be rather busy at that point, but let's try to get that going at that point. IDN's Dimitri. If we could have a summary of where you believe you are and what kind of work has to be done.
Dmitry Belevsky, for the record. Well, I agree with Ellen's analysis that for two of recommendation, we could just check the matching of recommendations and result of their fulfillment. And there is only one hanging point, because work on internationalization, translation and transliteration is not finished yet and expected to be finished, if I'm not mistaken, according to briefing, in summer this year. So I don't expect much problems here besides the transliteration question. And I think that more or less soon I will provide the matrix of comparison of recommendation and the completeness. Thank you.
Thank you, Dimitri. It strikes me that an awful lot of the IDN work, and it's not only internationalized domain names. In fact, most of those recommendations are on internationalized data, not necessarily the domain names themselves. It strikes me that most of the implementation, we did a lot of work as a result of the review, and several other groups chartered and reported, but the actual implementation is all going to be pending the new RDS system. And it may be worthwhile checking with the PDP to make sure that they, in fact, recognize and consider those tasks as part of their overall job. I think it's obvious to me that any new RDS has to be completely internationalized, both in terms of IDN names and internationalized data. But it is not clear to me, based on discussions, that that has been something that has been factored in their discussions, and I don't really recall if it is clearly within the listed on and the charter or not. So I think perhaps the first task is to make sure it is the charter and to make sure the group is well aware of it. Lisa, you're the lead staff person on that, and I see you've had some comments in the chart in the chat. You want to say, please go ahead. I see your hand is up.
Yeah, thanks. Lisa here. Yes, IDNs are, in fact, part of the PDP's charter, both requirements for support for internationalized domain names and translation, transliteration of registration data. That would be part of phase one, what the PDP is currently working on. And then, of course, policies and implementation guidance in future phases of the PDP. The PDP working group has also been reminded by the board, I believe at least once, that IDNs are, in fact, part of our charter. I think what you're observing, Alan, though, is that we have not yet discussed that in the PDP working group to any great extent. When the PDP working group began, we did some input summarization, and the documents that were produced, both for IDNs and for translation and transliteration, were in fact part of the documents to be summarized, but the working group has not yet gotten to the stage of discussing specific requirements related to that.
Okay, thank you, Lisa. That is comforting at some level, and I probably should have remembered it all myself, but I didn't. All right, next item is item for Lily, and it's whether I, in fact, it is the requirement that I can produce a plan to implement these recommendations and provide reporting. And as Lily has pointed out, that the existence of that is reflected in the fact that we have documents to look at here. So I'm assuming this is going to be a pretty easy one to comment on, and the clearly how well the other recommendations have been implemented, and is that reflected in ICANN's green check marks on all of them or not, will be part of the judgment call of whether the reporting was done properly. So I think that's going to pretty well fall out of the other items we have. So I don't think this is one of the more onerous ones. Anything new? Who do we have working on that? Stephanie was the lead on that. And we have Alan, Stephanie, and Susan. And certainly I have not done any work on that, and I don't think Susan has.
No, that could be. Anything new could be GDPR, though.
Well, I think anything new, the question was things that have been implemented to date, but clearly as GDPR unfolds, it will be part of that. I think one of the assessments we're going to have to do pretty quickly, however, on this one, is which of those items, and there was a long list created by staff of things that have changed, and I think the first part is a quick assessment of which ones do we actually tackle. There is no obligation for us to comment on everything that has possibly happened. And I think we're going to have to pick judiciously for where our efforts will be best used. So I'm going to reach out to Susan, to Stephanie on that one, and find out what's going on. Law enforcement needs is Thomas. Thomas is not on this call. And we have Chris and Catherine are the other people. To anyone's understanding, has anything happened on this item?
This is Christmas, as far as I know.
All right. I will reach out to them, too. Consumer Trust, Erica.
Thank you, Alan. I have finished the work. There is still a discussion going on between me and Jean-Bertrand concerning the question, is it completely finalized? I haven't received back comments from everyone who was part of the group, definitely from Stephanie. I have the feeling Susan replied and said that's okay. The outline I did, definitely have an okay from Dimitri. I might have to go, and we might have to go back to Stephanie. But anyhow, you have a draft in the attached document with you in the link, in case you want to have a look at it.
Do you foresee this one as being a major effort to work on, or is this a quick summary that's going to have to be written near the end?
I think we need to do a little bit of work. Let me see and open the document. But it's not really much, at least not in my eyes. Let me have a quick look. So I identified the questions which we have to look into. They are all in alignment with the document which we should take into consideration. So I did an assessment of level 4. We can downgrade this to level 3 if we like to. I wouldn't want to go much below. Estimate of workload, I put in level 3. And the rest is probably not relevant. I made a recommendation to have a check with, if I'm not, let me check if I'm right. Yeah. No, I think that's it. These are the key points. No, not super much work. No.
Thank you. Lisa, please go ahead.
Thank you, Alan. I just wanted to point out that the members of this subgroup, in addition to Erica, are Dimitri, Stephanie, and Susan. Carlton has indicated that he'd be willing to help this subgroup out to complete the work planning pass. Of course, subgroups and their composition may be revisited after the work planning is done as well. But, Erica, you may want to reach out on the subgroup email list to Dimitri, Susan, Stephanie, when she rejoins, and if you wish to have Carlton added, that would be the way to bring that document to closure.
Yeah, that's fine. If Carlton would love to join, I would enjoy this. But, I mean, go and have a look first. The questions are there, but we need to look at it because of the crazy Christmas time and the difficulty of scheduling calls. I just did it myself. I sent it out in time. You have it all there, and you can review it. Dimitri said already, okay. My memory is Susan did as well. I never heard back from Stephanie. I reached out to her separately as well, but haven't heard back. I will do this again. Carlton, welcome to have you here. But please, the document is there, so we don't have to work on the document, but you might want to change things, so feel free to do it.
Thank you, Erica. Lisa, is that a new hand?
It is. One quick follow-up. I realize with the number of subgroups that we have, it may be a bit confusing, but only the subgroup members actually see the document that's distributed. So in this case, only Dimitri, Stephanie, and Susan would have received the email with the document attached. And I think, Erica, you might be recalling some responses received on other subgroups from Dimitri and Susan, because we haven't actually seen traffic on that subgroup email list for this specific topic, consumer trust.
All right. I'll ask anyone to please take a look at it and make sure you've looked at it. I assume I'm on all of the lists.
Alan, you have to be on all the mailing lists.
Okay. All right. And I would say anyone who's not on a group, if you choose to take a few minutes and review some of these, that will be useful. Whether you just contribute a yes, that seems okay, or have any specific comments that will help progress the work. Next item is safeguard registrant data. That one, in today's world, is a very simple one. We don't do any of that. Clearly, this is one of the ones that will be affected as ICANN implements any changes associated with GDPR, and I think we're going to have to track that one. I'm not sure ICANN is in the position to say we do it properly or not, since clearly from a European context, the data commissioners who one day may in fact rule on this, who will give their input. But I think we need to update, or at least make sure the report reflects what the current status is. And lastly, we have compliance, and I think we already talked about that one briefly with the intent to reconvene the working group for the first summary, and then in our last call we talked about this a fair amount, and this is probably going to be one of the topics that's going to require the most amount of work, and probably the largest amount in terms of interviews and discussions with ICANN staff. So clearly it's one of the key ones, along with data accuracy, that we're going to have to make sure is progressed very well if we're going to meet in April. All right, we have any other further comments on the first pass? I find it a little bit disturbing that we're having such a hard time getting people at these meetings, and similarly, the work is progressing very, very slowly, but I'm going to work on the assumption that, the holiday break has caused this to be somewhat interrupted, and we're going to start seeing some better progress going forward. Any further comments on this? Seeing none, hearing none, we have, is there anything else for any other business? Jean-Baptiste, please go ahead.
Yes, Helen, I just wanted to add to what you just said that if anyone needs any help setting up a call or any other help on the wiki, just let us know. We are here to support you.
Thank you. Any other business? Then if I could ask Jean-Baptiste to summarize decisions reached and action items.
Thank you, Helen. On the decisions reached, so the review team is not looking for a briefing on GDPR at this stage. In terms of action items, so we have ICANOC to prepare milestone one of the outreach plan, to prepare draft bullet points to be submitted for review to the leadership on the next leadership call. ICANOC to look into possible weeks for a three-day face-to-face meeting during mid-April with a possible location. Under subgroups, so for recommendation two, single WHOIS policy subgroup members to comment first pass planning document sent by Carlton. Alan's reach out to Stephanie and Thomas to inquire about status of anything new and law enforcement needs planning documents. And also on consumer trust, I can also send the links to the document and the subgroup email address for him to provide any comments.
Thank you. Any further comments before we adjourn? Give you each 15 minutes back. Then thank you very much. We'll meet again in roughly 2 weeks from now, and wish you a good next 2 weeks in January, and hope to have a lot of progress for the next meeting. Thank you.